Today, I would like to present my research at University of Wisconsin, Madison. It's a geochemical survey of Wisconsin soil. Okay, what's our motivation? Why we want to do a geochemical survey? First of all, the survey information provides background element concentrations in soils. The information may be beneficial to a number of people and organizations. For example, regulatory agencies, how you can tell if the contamination remediation is complete or not without knowing the how much heavy metals already exist in the soil. In addition, the information sheds some light on the soil forming process. Eight elements comprise about 98% of most soils. Here, in our survey, we're focusing on mantles and semi-mantles. So, using neutron activation analysis, X-ray fluorescence analysis, and ICP-MIS, we can determine 57 elements in the soils. But in this presentation, I will focus on the elements, all the major elements, and some of the trace elements. Where are our samples located? We have two main data sets. The first one is the statewide soil samples. We share with NRCS. The samples are supplemented by some new collections we carry out. The total number of samples we have across Wisconsin is 321. Among them, we further separated 50 clay size fractions. The other sample site is located in a drift lakes area in Dane County. We have 96 samples, and we separated 72 clay size fractions. So you may find that the area ratio of these two locations is about 1 to 10,000. So we can compare the variability of element concentration in these two areas. Here is a Wisconsin soil region map. Most of the areas in Wisconsin has been glaciated before, at least once, except this southwest corner of the state. The 321 samples are located at the across Wisconsin, as shown on the left figure. The clay size fractions, we have 50 samples, is distributed on the at the right-hand side figure. Also, we have a county map here. This is Dane County. Madison is located in the middle of this figure. You can see that on the right-hand side, there are glaciation traces. However, on the left-hand side, is called driftless area. The watershed is located in the red area. Our 96 samples are distributed like this. We use a number of analytical methods. Here, I'm going to focusing on the results from X-ray fluorescence analysis and neutron activation analysis. Those two measurements can be done right in our lab. The clay size fractions are defined as soil particles with diameters smaller than 2 micrometers. Why we want to analyze this portion of soils, I will explain that later. All the soil samples are oven dried for 16 hours in oven at 105 degrees. Some samples are further ignited at 950 degrees Celsius for X-ray fluorescence analysis and ICP-MS analysis. All the analytical results are reported based on oven-dried soil mass. Samples are first grounded to make sure we have homogeneous and representative samples. This point gives you an idea about our recipe for X-ray fluorescence analysis and how we carry out our lab analysis. Here are a couple of pictures taken in my lab. We first ground the sample and burn them, mix them with flux. Flux with samples, we mix them together and fuse them into the transparent glass-like beads. Okay, why we want to analyze the clay size fraction? Because mineral quartz exist in most of the soils. And quartz is comprised of silicon and oxygen. It's exceptionally pure of other elements. So quartz rarely consists of other elements. So the existence of quartz dilutes the concentration of other elements. So we want to reduce the variability effect of quartz. Because the clay size fraction of quartz is very soluble. We use this property to separate the clay size fraction out of the whole soil sample. We are assuming that the concentration of quartz is very low in the clay size fraction, so the dilution effect of quartz in this portion of soil should be very weak. One of our hypotheses is the element concentration in the clay size fraction is more homogeneous. In order to facilitate the clay size separation process, we tried six methods. The six methods are all the combinations of three chemical and two physical methods. We use two most common soil types, molysol and alfisol, in our preliminary study. So the six methods result in a small difference in terms of element concentration. For example, this is the result of potassium. So in our following study, we choose the combination of deionized water and ultrasound vibration to separate the clay size fraction. Here is our result of the major element concentration. The vertical axis is the normalized soil concentration because we want all the numbers fit in the same plot. So we divided the element concentration by its group mean. The left figure here is the 321 soil samples. However, the right figure is 50 clay size fraction samples. You can see that, as we can expect it, the element concentration range on the right figure is narrower. In general, it's narrower than the same vertical bar on the left figure. Some data statistics is listed on this table. We use two-way ANOVA and Levien test to compare the mean and variance of the two groups of data. One is total soil, the other is clay size fraction. We found that except for calcium, iron, magnesium, and strontium, there is no, except those four elements, the two groups has significantly different variance between the two groups. How about the small watershed? What's the situation there? The numbers are also normalized. However, we consider more trace elements on the horizontal axis. In general, the element concentration range on the left-hand side figure, 96 samples, is in general wider than those in the clay size fractions. We have 72 clay size fraction samples. Okay, now let's compare the element concentrations in total soils at the two areas. One is state-wise, the other is a small watershed. Remember, the area ratio is 1 to 10,000. There is no statistical difference between the standard deviations of the two groups. You can see that the third row, the number of the third row is pretty close to each other, and especially calcium. The coefficient of variance of calcium is larger at the small watershed than the calcium CV value at the state level. Okay, in summary, we found that element concentrations in a 15 kilometer square driftless area have a range of values similar to those from across Wisconsin. No significant difference in the means and the variance of the two groups. For most elements, their concentrations in clay size fractions are more uniform than those in the original soils. Okay, thank you for your attention, and I would like to take any of your questions you may have. No, please.
Did you see any variability in the mercury distribution in just even in the spatial distribution?
Mercury concentration. I rely on ICP-MS to detect mercury. However, unfortunately, our lab cannot measure mercury precisely because there are some mercuries in the atmosphere, in the ambient area. So, but the ICP-MS analysis is carried out in the state hygiene lab, and so far we don't have their data yet. Thank you.
Have you all looked at the relationship between the different metals?
Yes. We also studied the correlation between different metals. We found that by the multivariate data analysis, like PCA and F factor analysis, the divalent elements groups together. And on the other hand, on the other side, is one important component of the elements. And also, like iron and arsenic, those two elements are correlated very well. So, but due to the time limitation, I didn't show that data. But it's in my poster. My poster is yesterday. So, if anybody is interested in that, I'm happy to send you a copy of my poster.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You studied the relationship between soil series and elements content. You have 350 soil
samples.
So this belongs to different soil series.
Soil series, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Classification.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you are looking for the relations between the soil series and the element concentration, right? It's a very good question. And one of our objective is trying to explore new soil mapping method. In the statewide soil, we have more than 500 soil series. So we barely have more than two samples collected in the same theory. However, in the sub-watershed, we have more than 10 samples in one soil theory, but the variabilities in this soil theory in terms of element concentration is very high. So I believe to better describe the geoproperties of soils, the original soil theory is not a good mapping method because it doesn't capture the element concentration property in the soil.
From my work on watershed, I found most of the time that only like 10, 15 soil series contribute to almost 80-90% of the area.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the research I have. I see. I think I have done a NOAA to compare the element concentration in a couple of groups. Definitely, one theory, the most common theory, is one of the big groups. And in terms of group mean and variability, there's no significant effect in terms of the soil theories. But I think I will continue to use this. The same method on some other elements, like the mercury. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.